Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
David Anderson joining us on the show right now. Hello, DA.
More often than not unrelated, but that's
Yeah, no, that's true. I guess this, my first question to you is somewhat related in that it was a football-driven event. But have you seen the footage and the pictures of the buffet that the Clemson football team enjoyed at the White House yesterday?
300 of the greatest burgers you'll ever see in the world.
American burgers, DA. They're American burgers.
American burgers.
All right, so I ask you this question. If you were creating a dream buffet of fast food in celebration of some sort of football accomplishment, what would it be?
Well, first of all, anyone under the age of 60 knows to call them cheeseburgers. No one eats a hamburger anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
Cheese has been put on those things for a long time.
Yep.
So let's be clear, mine will be cheeseburgers. And this is where it gets a little sticky, is your definition of fast food, because I would love In-N-Out burgers. It's going to be tough to get there to D.C. So I would love In-N-Out double-doubles would be my first one. I know these Whataburger fools in Houston are going to try to argue between the two, but it's not even an argument. Not even close. We're not going to get into that today. That's like talking politics. It's unbelievable.
There's no winners or losers.
Only Whataburger losers.
Well, now come on.
They're going to be waiting for the DA.
I thought you said you weren't going to engage.
They're going to be waiting for you at the airport.
Chick-fil-A chicken sandwiches. I want Chick-fil-A chicken sandwiches. I want my double doubles from In-N-Out. I want my Chick-fil-A chicken sandwiches.
And we can all agree on that.
Here's a wrench in the whole thing. I wouldn't mind McDonald's fries.
Okay.
McDonald's fries, while they're not my favorite, they will last the longest. We know that for a fact. And as salty as they are, they're good with anything. In-N-Out burgers, In-N-Out fries is delicious. But as soon as you start throwing in Chick-fil-A, you need different fries.
And give me a Wendy's Frosty over any of those other shakes.
Oh, Wendy's Frosty, I'll get you there. I'm more of a deep dish pizza guy. I like a good hearty crust. So I'm not exactly sure who you go with there. They're normally local. Like here, it's Union Pizza. There's some other ones. So, but wherever you can find a good deep dish pizza, and you won't see me till next Thursday.
Are you a Taco Bell guy at all, DA?
No. And it's funny you mentioned Taco Bell. I would like to put Chipotle in there. Well, you know when they make cater and they do half burritos? I would like to put some Chipotle half burritos.
Okay,
glad you're anti-Taco Bell.
I love what DA is creating here, because it's a similar table to what we saw in all the images. But like an omelet bar, DA would have a Chipotle burrito bar with
half burrito. Half burrito. They're already pre-made. You know, you have a chicken one, a beef one, or a asada one.
So you wouldn't have a worker in like a Chipotle outfit, putting the burritos together custom style.
I'm not being ridiculous here. Come on. be somewhat normal.
Yeah, that's true. I'm being crazy here.
You didn't see any workers over there. You just saw some heating lamps.
That's true. Yeah, no, just gigantic.
That had been sitting there for an hour and a half.
Gigantic pyramids of burgers is all that we saw.
Did they have any final numbers on how many they ate?
Well, here's the deal. I believe Trump originally said a few hundred. That immediately went up to 1,000, and I think the number's rising.
Yeah, good.
Imagine that.
Yeah, good. Good.
So I heard that Hunter Renfro 2 years ago called the meal that was served up by the full White House catering staff one of the best meals he's ever had. It actually did sound like these kids, at least some of them, were pretty excited to scarf down this fast food.
I mean, you were in college.
Yeah.
I was eating ramen and half-eaten sandwiches, and the dorm food, I'm pretty sure, is what they serve the prisoners in the state of Colorado. I would take anything. Hunter Renfro has never had a meal that costs over $30, so he has no idea what a delicious meal costs.
Okay, half-eaten sandwiches. who ate the other half, D.A.?
That's a Ben Stratton accent. He was a safety. He was a local boy, and his mom used to make him a bunch of sandwiches, and I used to get the leftovers.
You know he's listening.
Yeah. No way. He's in Wyoming right now. He has a radio.
Radio.com app, baby. Radio.com app.
Or internet.
So, DA, shifting gears. After watching the divisional round games this weekend, I want to put this within the context of the Houston Texans. How do you feel about the Texans after watching these teams in the divisional round games this weekend?
I thought, you know what, the Colts behaved a little more like they were supposed to against the Kansas City, against Kansas City, not us. I was pretty confident that the Texans were going to come out and put the Colts on their heels and force them to play from behind. And just kind of out-athlete them to a degree. Well, while I think they have some good athletes, I believe Houston has more, and it was obvious that Kansas City has more athletes. And that just didn't really happen. So from the perspective of Andy Reid did a great job putting his athletes in space, jumping out on top of Indy that game and forcing them to play from behind was something that the Texans need to do, and the exact opposite happened. I think that was what I found most frustrating from the AFC matchup. Over there, as far as New England, San Diego, you know what? I hate to say this, but San Diego, to a degree, reminds me a little bit of the Texans in that they have all the chips to make a good playoff run. But for some reason, I don't want to say it's mentally getting in the way, but there's just a little hump that people aren't seeing that seems to always trip up San Diego and of late has tripped up the Texans.
How much faith would you have as a Texans fan? I mean, look, we've got the four highest scoring teams in the NFL in the Final Four this weekend. You've got the franchise quarterback. When healthy, you've got some pretty decent skill position talent on this offense. If you're a Texans fan, what's your level of confidence that they can take that step up to becoming an actually elite offense?
I mean, the truth is they have the players. I'm always optimistic about football in general, and unless you see something kind of crazy happening to the locker room. Like, you look at the Steelers, they lost their best running back. It looks like they're going to lose their best receiver. And it's just kind of chaos going on there. You would much rather have the Texans situation than the Steelers. And the Steelers fans seem to always be optimistic about Big Ben and Tomlin getting them to a place where they can compete for a Super Bowl. So I would say when you look at, like, across the board, how optimistic you should be, they're definitely top five, optimistic of all teams in the NFL next year. Can they add someone in the first round? Can they get lucky in the draft like the Colts did and pick up a player or two that really affects them on offense or defense? It's pretty clear that that Deshaun can use some help in the middle, some big play guys in the middle of the field, or even another star outside. So that's the best is when you know you have a need or two that you can fill that, and you already have the nucleus of a great football team. So I'm really happy with where they're at. Would have liked them to play at least one more playoff game, but excited they got at least some experience.
What's the degree of difficulty, DA, in them upgrading the offensive line? I think we all think that there's going to be changes to at least some components of that offensive line this coming offseason. What's the degree of difficulty to getting them from being a bottom third of the league offensive line to being an upper third of the league offensive line?
To me, offensive line is 90% getting the guys on the right guys. Where that communication broke down, was it on the right side, was it on the left side, was it on the middle, is really only something the Texans staff will be able to assess. Because you look at, look at those lines that Peyton used to play with, and Saturday makes 19 Pro Bowls. The guy couldn't block anybody. He was great at just kind of getting in the way for a little bit. But what they did, what your quarterback and your offensive line's job is to get 5-on-5. And if you get 5-on-5, then you have a chance. When Deshaun had guys running free at him, he was even making plays every now and then. But that's his job, right? And so where did the communication break down? That's ultimately what you're hoping the Texans assess and say, hey, this left guard, left tackle combo is not working. Maybe we can move our left over to right and bring in a new left guard, left tackle. Like, maybe there's something like that they can do. Maybe they need leadership at the center position to get everyone on the right spots. Maybe it broke down at right tackle. Only they know because they're doing the assessment, but I'm confident they can get better How much better is ultimately the question we're asking? Hopefully it's a lot better because Deshaun can't take this number of sacks year in, year out.
Visiting with David Anderson, yes, exactly. The most battered quarterback in the NFL this season. It's amazing he was out there for 16 games. Switching gears, I don't know how you felt watching the end of that Saints-Rams game. Saints-Eagles game, but I felt like Nick Foles was about to put the Eagles ahead in that game, that they were going to go down and score the go-ahead Dutch touchdown before the Alshon Jeffrey drop. And if he does that, I mean, it's over the top in terms of their confidence level this week, winning at New Orleans, and the praise being heaped upon Nick Foles. Well, now they're done, and he's probably headed elsewhere. Is he someone you consider worthy of being handed the keys to a franchise as their number one quarterback?
100%. Especially if you're a team looking for a quarterback. The draft is such a, if you're the Dolphins, you can put the Bills on that list every year, right? Those are your AFC East teams. The NFC, you could put them somewhere like Tampa and have them compete for a job. I mean, there's all sorts of places where he would fit in. There's some obvious teams they're probably going to reach and try to pick a franchise guy in the first round, although I don't know who that's going to be. But yeah, he's definitely a franchise quarterback you'd hand the keys over to.
David Anderson joining us on the show. DA, you spent a little bit of time with the Denver Broncos. You spent a lot of time around Gary Kubiak. What was your reaction when you saw last Friday that the Denver Broncos and Gary Kubiak were essentially breaking up?
Kubiak wants a coach, I'm guessing. He wants more of an active role, and Denver wasn't going to let him do that within the organization, so I guess they had to go elsewhere. So if there's anything I know about Coach Kubiak, he did a great job voicing his opinion, hearing the other side, and probably they had an amicable split is what I'm guessing. Elway and him are boys from back in the day, so it's not like I don't think they had they're throwing fists at each other. They're arguing over how he wants to get involved. Elway probably said, hey, we can move you over to this type of analysis or something like that, but I'm not going to let you be one of the head coach or coordinator. And Coach Kubiak was probably saying, well, let me go look for someone else and try to get one of those jobs. I don't see anything wrong with that. It's probably a place that a piece of his heart will always be and will probably always be welcome back. But I think he's trying to go for a head coach or even coordinator job.
Okay, well, that answers my next question. I was going to ask you, do you think he'll be a head coach in the league again?
I think he'd like to. I'm not sure who will give it to him. There's obviously questions about his health and his mental stability and where he wants to be, how long he wants to do it, and stuff like that. So I think he was a great coordinator in Baltimore, and I think that would let him get his feet wet without having to make the full commitment and take on all the weight as a head coach. So maybe he makes that type of choice, but I don't know what type of hats he's throwing his name into. Nor have we really heard him taking many interviews at some of these teams.
So he took a job with Minnesota yesterday as sort of an advisor, like an offensive advisor.
So they have an OC.
But he can still interview.
Yeah. And I'm sure he's probably.
He could pull a Cliff Kingsbury and start recruiting on a recruiting trip and go be the head coach of an NFL football team.
How about that?
Unbelievable. I don't see Coops being that kind of guy.
What's that, Rich?
I don't see Coops being that kind of guy.
Like a bail like after a week?
Like a Ryan Gosling running around talking about your Mike Leach offense? No, yeah, he's not. There's only one of those. That's
hey,
unbelievable.
Kyler Murray did what he had to do yesterday if he wanted to max out his leverage of declaring for the NFL draft. You want to see him play baseball or football?
I want to see him do Deion Sanders. Let's start doing both.
The helicopter rides from the football stadium to the baseball game?
We haven't seen that in forever. That would be awesome. And you know what? Like, I think both sports are at a place where, not that they could use something like that, but you might be able to pull something like that off. The problem with Dion and corner is basically you say, hey, you're one-on-one, stand here. You don't need to go to meetings that often. If you're the quarterback of a franchise, they're not really going to let you peace out in October to go play playoff baseball. So I don't think it would work for someone like Kyle Murray, but I would love him to try to do both. I don't think it would work.
It's not going to happen for a quarterback, I don't think.
Too much.
No.
So, DA, before
– one can hope.
Yeah. Well, before we let you go, Chiefs minus three against the Patriots. Saints minus 3.5 against the Rams. You have an early read on these games?
I just want you to know that I hit the Chiefs and I hit the over last weekend. I was really excited. I didn't get my other bets in, so I was 2 for 2 last week. So
congratulations.
You're like that DraftKings guy that couldn't get his bet in.
Yeah.
We don't want to go down that road.
No, we don't go down that road. So I haven't done enough research yet.
Okay.
Whatever. I need to figure out some weather in Kansas City. That's what got me to be really confident in them, because Indy plays indoors. Patriots are always tough, built for December, January weather, so mm-hmm. that won't bother them. As far as the Saints playing in their place against our Rams, not exactly sure. That's a tough one. I can't give you anything yet.
Yeah, you sound like one of those touts who's like, are you going to tell us to call your 1-900 number right now? If you want my picks, you got to call 1-900 David Anderson.
1-800. It's 1-800. Get my pick. Yeah, XX.
XX.
3 X's.
What is it, a porno line?
It depends if I'm there. You hit one for David Anderson, is what it says.
There you go. Hey, DA, are you back on our airwaves here anytime soon?
I am, yeah.
Okay.
Sean and I are back this Wednesday. Basically, we're talking about bright stars. We're going to get into Kyle Murray a little bit, but James Harden, what he's been doing with the Rockets and his incredible run, just highlighting guys when their star is bright. What is it? Are they in the zone? What are they feeling like? What can they say? What can they do? And what to expect, I think, is going to be a fun topic.
For those who don't know, that would be Sean as in Sean Bajani.
Right.
Not Sean Pendergast, who only appears to be on every show on the radio dial. Right.
Yes, he's not actually, though.
No, you believe it or not. Yeah, believe it or not. David Anderson and Sean Bajani, the Average Sports Show, tomorrow, Wednesday. What's your start time on that, DA, now that the season's over?
We're an 8 to 10-er. They might move us up. It's actually, I think, going through some debate right now. Because, we got trapped in the Trap and Smitty show after.
Right after. You guys are the lead. And that's a fun night of former Texans on the air. I'm going to tell you right now. David Anderson and then the Trap and Smitty show. Travis Johnson and Wade Smith. That's good stuff. All right, DA. So we'll look forward to hearing you with Sean Bajani tomorrow night. Enjoy the games this weekend. And we'll catch up with you next week, my man.
Absolutely, guys. Have a good one.
All right, thanks, you too. David Anderson joining us on the Buyers Barricades Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.